This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. This talk is brought to you by New Hope Publications. Help restore belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. See the books and brochures of New Hope Publications at www.newhope-ky.org. Mention this ad and get 10% off your next purchase at New Hope Publications. This homily is by Father Anthony Branken, a priest in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. From the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And boy, if that isn't the truest thing that was ever said. Because what it means is that all the things that we think are so important and vital to us and so desperate for our happiness are really nothing if they are not God. In other words, every time we think that we just cannot exist without this or that thing, we're wrong. Because the only thing that counts is God and doing the will of God in our lives. And we pave a path to unhappiness any time we think that something or anything or anyone is more important than God. Now, this can happen in our lives in a number of different ways and at a number of different levels. For example, there are people, and I know people like this, for whom a political party or a political personage is so important that no consideration counts other than the advancement of this person or party, not whether they promote war or abortion or the destruction of family life. The only thing that counts is that this person or party that I like wins. And this happens all the time, especially at election time. We get caught up in the campaign and we act and we talk and we think as if this or that politician or this or that party or platform or policy is going to save us. Sorry, politics will not save us. Politics is vain. Politics is useless and will lead to damnation because it is not God. More often, though, our temptation to vanity is evidenced in the way that we spend our leisure time and how we entertain ourselves. And of course, for most of us, since the first day they invented it, that means television. Television is the extra person in our families. Certainly, when you count the hours that we are involved with it, and more especially when you see how much importance we invest in television, you know how we all decide that this season or another, this show or that, is so important to our week that we feel diminished in some way if we cannot see it. We actually experience a sense of loss, a sense of emptiness, that I couldn't see my show this week. Some drama or comedy or even a new show has somehow or other been grafted onto our emotional structure, and our days, our weeks, our lives begin to revolve around those 30 or 60 minutes, and we can't live without that show. This is what they mean by must-see TV. It says, oh, you must see TV. Now, I'm not immune to it. I was hooked on Lost for a couple of months. And before that, I was hooked on X-Files for at least a couple of years. I never wanted to miss the X-Files. I guess what happens, I think the process is this, that you read about this or that show in the papers, and then you tune in to see what all the hoopla is about, and before the hour is over and you've seen 20 commercials, you are dying to see the next show. Now, I will admit that sometimes I'm a sucker for the spooky type shows. Going all the way back to Thriller with Boris Karloff in the 60s, or Twilight Zone, or Beyond, or Way Out. I couldn't wait to see them. And the best TV nights when I was a kid were the ones where the lineup was all the spooky stuff. Now, I would imagine that a very large number of us are still drawn to those kinds of stories. Now, if we're talking about vanity, we're talking about useless things. And television and entertainment are doubly vain, doubly useless, because first of all, in spending a lot of time watching a lot of inane, silly things on TV, that will certainly not get us to heaven. But sometimes that which we watch is dangerous in itself. The addiction is not just the time that we spend mindlessly watching mindless shows, but the danger also comes from the themes and the characters that draw us into their world. And sometimes these themes and characters can threaten us and endanger our well-being and threaten our very souls with thoughts and images and teachings that are dark and unsettling and simply evil. Someone was recently telling me about a show that involved angels and Michael the Archangel and the devil himself, and somehow the storyline had been, I think the show is called Supernatural, but somehow the storyline is that Satan has been caged, but he's now about to be released, and people are going to get possessed, and all kinds of a mishmash. It was pretty confused and pretty confusing. And that's when I lost track of the plot that was being explained to me. But it reminded me of a whole warehouse of movies and shows about the end of the world, about the end of days, about the final conflict, going all the way back to movies like Rosemary's Baby and The Omen and a million other movies. A whole genre of entertainment centering around blood and guts that have been spilled by angels and demons. Now, these shows seem to have given birth and spawned even stranger shows. Of course, I'm speaking about the new romantic tradition of vampires in love. You know, Twilight, Angel, Buffy. There's even one about good vampires who are in this huge snit with werewolves. So we're supposed to be rooting for the vampires as they fight the werewolves. So not only have we developed a morbid, sick fascination with violence and human blood being spilled by angels and demons, but we've begun to see the demon as exemplified by the vampire as an object of love and lust. Vampire as devil has now been changed into vampire as lover. This is twisted, and this is not good. Now, I can only imagine what's behind all of this. It's a subtle desire to injure and wound and corrupt the traditional Catholic understanding of supernatural realities. And I really believe that such perversion is intentional. There seems to be an intent desire on the part of producers, writers, and directors to warp and transform traditional spiritual values, first by drawing us into these shows, addicting us to them, and then changing what we believe about the spiritual and supernatural. Now, you see, when I hear all these plot lines that are ostensibly about supernatural things, I say to myself, hey, I've been a priest for 35 years. I have read and studied and written about this stuff since I was in grammar school. Where did all this come from? Where did all this lore about angels and demons and cages and possession and good vampires and bad vampires and sorcery, where did that all come from? I never heard about any of this. This is not part of the Bible. This is not part of Christian tradition. In fact, this stuff was roundly condemned not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, and then all the fathers of the church condemned it. You cannot even find it in the old-fashioned fairy tales. Because in those tales, good is always good and is never confused with evil. It all seems to be a mishmash of evil being made good and good being made evil, and all of it is couched in images and vocabularies that make it sound Christian, make it sound like it's out of the Bible, but it really is not. In other words, the hapless Christian audience in America, we sit there and we think we understand what's going on. Oh, angels and devils, yeah, we believe in that. But we really don't understand what's going on, because what we are watching is not about things from the Catholic tradition, but from a whole lot of Near Eastern pagan and Kabbalistic magic things. All of it playing footsie with the devil. And what's the tip-off that there's something wrong here, and that someone is out there trying to change what we believe about spiritual realities and how they intersect with our world? There is never a word about Jesus. Not one syllable, not one breath about Jesus, the Son of God. You would think that any film that's trying to say something about spiritual entities, about the end of the world, about the Antichrist, about devils and angels, you would think there might be just the slightest mention of the most important person to have lived on earth in the last 2,000 years, good and gentle Jesus, but they don't breathe a syllable about it. They totally ignore him. And I would say that they do not include him in their plots because they actually despise him. They reject Jesus and his claim to be God, and they reject the religion he gave us. That's why in any of these movies, any priest or nun that you ever see in any of these shows is totally unspiritual, totally unhinged, and usually insane. So not only is Jesus never referred to, but also his church is made a laughingstock. So the question I ask this morning, can we afford, spiritually speaking, to be taken in by these entertainments and let something other than God and other than Jesus become an emotional and spiritual center of our lives? Now you might be saying, oh, come on, simmer down, Father, this is just TV. This is just the movies. This is just entertainment. But can we not see that from this entertainment, we are absorbing automatically attitudes and theologies and someone else's religion? You cannot help but be influenced by what you see and hear. It gets in, no matter how small. And while we can say, oh, we really don't believe in this stuff about vampires and angels and devils, this is just for fun, we are subtly learning new attitudes from these shows. We are learning how to live and how to love from people who do not believe in life or love. And we have said to the people who produce our entertainments when we watch television, go ahead, you form our souls. You tell us right from wrong. You teach us what's true and what's false. You let us know what's valuable and what's worthless. You tell us what the end of the world will be like and how heaven and hell are and how angels and demons live. You tell us who God really is. Go ahead, we're all ears. And when we reach that point, when we let the culture tell us who God is and what the supernatural life is all about, then we have reached critical mass, the vanity of vanities. And the problem then is not that we are substituting something for God, like politics or television, but that we are substituting someone for God, and that, of course, would be Satan. I am not saying yet, turn off the TV. But if you watch this stuff, just be aware of what is really going on and protect yourself accordingly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.